VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is rapidly advancing across the United States and is doing so as aided by our administration, by the Biden administration, by governmental leaders. Did you know that within recent days, the Biden administration has released yet another suspected Islamist militant from the Guantanamo Bay prison? Did you know last week as Ramadan was ending that the White House marked the occasion by paying homage to Islamic fasting and charity, celebrating Eid al-Fitr at the White House, and committed his administration to take on Islamophobia? Are you aware of a resolution drafted in the House of Representatives in the last couple of weeks to recognize Ramadan and demonstrate solidarity with and support for members of the community of Islam? Are you aware that during this recent Ramadan, Minneapolis became the first major city in the U.S. to allow the broadcast of five Islamic calls to prayer every day? Where is this all leading our nation? Joining us today, it's our privilege to have in studio with us Usama Dakdak, the founder of the Straight Way to Grace Ministry. He is a speaker on the daily radio broadcast, Revealing the Truth About Islam. He speaks fluent Arabic. He's translated the Quran into English. He's the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and Exposing the Truth About Jihad, and the booklets, The Violent Truth About Islam and The Straight Way to Eternal Life. Usama, welcome back here to the VCY studios.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy to be with you and all your wonderful audience.
Last week, I'd like to begin with a statement that came from President Biden last week here from the White House. And I have several quotes here, and I'm going to have you comment on this. This is a statement that he made with his wife on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. Before we talk about what he said, what is Eid al-Fitr?
That is the festivals where Muslims celebrate the iftar, which is breaking the fast of the month of Ramadan. Sadly, I do not believe Muslims understand, nor people like Mr. Biden. Understand that there is no fasting Ramadan. They can call this the celebration of the feasting, not the fasting. That month of Ramadan and the drama or the propaganda teachings that Muslim fasted for 28 days or so is not reality. I don't think even Muslim understand what is the word yawm, which is a Hebrew word from which will come up with the Arabic word yawm. 24 hours. If you investigate the Bible, Brother Jim, you see that God created the world in 6 days, and it's always said it was evening and morning first day. It was evening and morning second day, which means the day start at the evening and end in the following evening. So you have all evening, all day, first day, all evening, all day, second day. Biblical fasting, if you investigate the biblical fasting throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you find that people fasted a day, 3 days, 6 days, David, 40 days, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And these are days start by evening. If you go to the book of Esther, she said to Mordechai to tell the Jewish people to fast 3 days and three nights, evening and days. Always start with evening. What do Muslims do in the evening? They eat all night long. They actually consume three more time food in the month of Ramadan than any other month of the year. Average Muslims gain 25 pounds in the month of Ramadan, in the end of the month of Ramadan, after fasting. Of course, they're not fasting. And we can talk about this a little bit in depth later. But they celebrate the feasting of Ramadan is not the celebrating the fasting of Ramadan. They already ate enough food all months long. They have just turned their day to night and their night to day. But instead of people sleep at night, they eat at night and they sleep at daytime. That's not fasting at all.
Okay, so here are a few of the statements that he made from the White House. This is April 20th, 2023. He says, I am moved by the generosity that is shown from families that can provide food and give charity to those in need through Zakat al-Fitr.
Well, I'm sorry to say that this is not fact. First of all, the food is eaten by the people and the charity is there is more Muslim in the world, Muslim families, Muslim people who are hungry and starving all year long. The eating and the feasting of the month of Ramadan does not satisfy the people in the rest of the 11 months of the year. There are more hungry people in the Muslim world are fed by the infidels, Americans and European, and by Israel, by the way, than those who are given from the Muslim world. Hmm. It's just cheap talk.
Eid al-Fitr marks the completion of a holy month dedicated to devotion, charity, and reflection, a time where we also remember Muslim communities around the world that are enduring conflict, poverty, hunger, and disease, and those that are displaced from their homes. So he's recognizing there are the Muslims who are hungry at the same time.
Yeah, but they're hungry all year long. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the feeding of the hungry during the month of Ramadan, it's written about in the Quran. That is for the Muslims who cannot fast. So you don't even have to fast. You just feed some poor people who cannot afford to buy the meal. Is it a holy month? Is it really a month of charity? Every year, the month of Ramadan is the worst month for people who are living among Muslims. This year it just happened, according to the numbers of Ramadan,
the religion of peace.
Religion of peace or religion of love. We got 145 attacks. That is what we know of, Brother Jim. Because I promise you, the attacks which take place in countries like my home country, Egypt, are not known. We will never know. Even if there are plenty of attacks, they will ignore it or they will deny it. 145 attacks, 741 people were killed. When you compare that in the same months for people who were killed by other religions, Christians killing, Buddhists killing, zero. About other people, anti-Muslim extremism, okay, zero. So we see the Muslims who are really living that holy month of Ramadan, carrying the attacks against non-Muslims and killing hundreds, but I say thousands, if we really know the real numbers.
So one of the things that we're often told, and I'm going to read a statement here, they talk about peace. But when you talk about the number of killings, the number of attacks, it does not sound peaceful. He said, as we celebrate our blessings this Eid, let us also recommit ourselves to the timeless work of building peace and standing up for the rights and dignity of all people.
I'm sorry that in Islam there is no peace to non-Muslims. Non-Muslims do not follow that. Muhammad was very clear in his teaching in the correct hadith by Sahih Muslim, by Sahih Bukhari. Muhammad said, do not initiate the peace to the Jews and to the Christians. Notice now, Jews and Christians are the nearest people to the Muslims. I mean, they hate everybody else who is not Muslims, but they hate Jews and Christians. And Allah's Apostle Muhammad commanded them not to initiate peace to the Jews and the Christians. So I don't know what peace Mr. O'Biden is talking about. But also the Quran, in Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, Allah's words is very clear. Do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. Yes, Muslims sometimes pretend to have a peaceful relationship with others when they do not have the upper hand, when they're not strong in the land. But when they have the upper hand, when they have enough power, enough people, enough weapon, then they will never be weak to call for peace. There is no peace in Islam whatsoever.
I find it very interesting. Robert Spencer had a piece talking of Friday, April 7th. There was a sermon by a sheikh, a Dr. Hamad al-Rigeb, but he prayed for Allah to bring annihilation and paralysis upon the Jews and to enable the Muslims to get to the Jews' necks. He said the Jews are filthy animals, brothers of apes and pigs who spread corruption, injustice, and evil at the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Well, it's true, Brother Jim. Not only the Jews and the Christians are evil in the mind of that gentleman, that imam, but it's actually in the commands of Allah in the Quran. That's why Allah orders the Muslim people to annihilate the Jews and the Christians. In the last chapter, for example, chapter 9, the Book of Repentance, in verse 29, Allah gave a direct command to every Muslim believers, to Muhammad, and all those who will follow Islam in the future, to engage in war against the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. The command of Allah throughout the Quran for the annihilation of Jews and Christians starts from chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, all the way to the last statement where Muhammad mentions the word Jews or Christians. This is the reality of Islam, not just that Muslim imam. Because when we quote a Muslim imam like that, people think, well, this guy is just a radical extremist. No, it is Allah's command and it's Muhammad's orders.
We also have then from the president, he went on to say, my administration is also committed to addressing all forms of hate, including Islamophobia. That's why I established an interagency task force with senior government officials to tackle this and related challenges and encourage every American to build a more inclusive nation.
If O'Biden will have his way and if he will have another term or somebody like him to have another term, I guarantee you, a station like this, which we're speaking from, VCY, will not be on the air, especially if you're going to speak the truth, having people like me to explain and expose the true nature of Islam, because that is the Muslim agenda, Islamophobia. It is an invented word for the purpose of shutting down anyone and everyone who will expose or speak or critique the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith, which is the two sources of Islam.
You were talking about Ramadan being a very violent month, and we can't go into all these stories, but let me just share some headlines.
Sure.
This one from Jihad Watch. Church of Sweden Archbishop screams, Allahu Akbar, says Muhammad is prophet, successor, says Muslims are welcome to join. Here is a Austria. Muslim sprays buildings with Islamic State slogans, Islam will win with or without you. Nigeria, Muslims murder 1,000 Christians in the first 100 days of 2023. Iran installs cameras to crack down on women not wearing hijab. Here is Islamophobia in Sweden. Muslim leader complains about city food festival being held during Ramadan. Does not want other people to have access to food if they do not.
Sure.
Here's Ramadan in Nigeria. Army troops invade Christian areas, burn markets, loot shops during Western Eastern celebration. Afghanistan, Taliban bans things in contradiction with Islam, including music, cassettes, and foreign dramas. Australia, first Muslim minister of New South Wales, Jihad Deb, takes oath on the Quran. Let's go to the UK. United Kingdom, Pizza Hut under fire after Muslim family sent the wrong order, including Bacon Ranch. And another from Nigeria, Muslims raid displaced persons camp, murder 38 people, injure 51 others.
Brother Jim, this is a reality, and it's coming to a city near you. And I do not know how many times I'm going to say that. Even as we continue for our program today, I know some of the things we're going to be talking about, we mentioned on this station, on that studio, on that same microphone I'm speaking to the people today, that this will be coming to America. And it's already here.
Yes.
So nothing is new under the sun. Islam is growing. And when the more the percentage of the Muslims will exist in a land, it doesn't matter where you're at, even if you have Muslims on the moon. If you have more Muslims on the moon, Islam will be practiced fully someday on the land of the moon. So this is a reality. When Muslims grow in number, these things will happen. If it's happening in Europe, it will happen in America very soon.
Not only from the Biden White House, but we also have coming from the U.S. House of Representatives, was just introduced last month, House Res 299, recognizing the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, commending a month of fasting, spiritual renewal, extending best wishes to Muslims in the U.S. and across the globe for a joyous and meaningful observance of Eid al-Fitr. But Usama, they give some numbers in here. They say it's estimated there are approximately 1.8 billion Muslims worldwide. And 4,500 Muslims serve on active duty in our military. 2,300 Muslims serve on selected reserve personnel in the United States Armed Forces. There are over 200 elected officials who identify as Muslim that are in elected office, and 1.2 million Muslim voters in the U.S. And then they say, whereas the Muslim population has been growing in the United States, and today's American Muslim population is a tapestry of ethnic, racial, and linguistic, social, and economic groups. These are some pretty high numbers they're giving.
And I don't believe that's even accurate number. You may think there's only 1.2 million Muslim in America can vote. I guarantee you, they don't count the illegal Muslim in America. These are the people who are registered to vote. And I guarantee you, there's more than that have voted in the last election to Mr. O'Biden. This is the reality that Muslims are here. They're not going anywhere. The number will continue to grow. And they will influence this country beyond our imagination.
Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to put our focus on Minneapolis and the decision that was made on the broadcasting that Islamic call to prayer. What is that prayer call asking them to do? What is the substance of this? We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is helium so much lighter than the other gases?
Chris, helium is lighter because it's a smaller atom, far smaller than any other gas except hydrogen. There's a very interesting lesson we can learn from this. We know how many atoms of helium are out there from a direct observation. We also know how fast helium is produced below the Earth's surface and how fast it enters the atmosphere. By doing simple division, we can see that all of the helium that's in the atmosphere would get here in a rather short period of time, far too short to have allowed for evolution to occur. Once again, Chris, we see that the scientific evidence supports the biblical way of thinking and not the evolution way of thinking. Back to Genesis wins again.
To find out more about creation science, Visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Usama Dakdak is with us today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, talking about all the political support for Islam. And folks, it's growing, it's advancing, and we see this even as President Biden brought back the Eid al-Fitr to the White House last year that took place, and certainly underway here again this year. We see the resolution coming from the House of Representatives. But Usama, something also for a major city in the United States, Minneapolis. Pamela Geller states that Muslims represent less than 3% of the population in Minneapolis, yet Minneapolis became the first major city to allow broadcast of 5 Islamic calls to prayer. Tell us about it.
Well, it started early during COVID. Obviously, they asked permission to do 3 times a day. They did not do the early one in the morning because they don't want to disturb people, you know, in their sleep, or the late one at night in case people are going to bed early. And when this happened, I told your audience in this broadcast that the day will come and there will be 5 times a day, because that is what it is. You give Muslim an inch, they go for a mile. Just gives them enough time and they will accomplish their goal. 3% is quite a number, but wait until the 3 become 5.5 or 6%. Then at that time, trust me, and I'm saying it, and I hope this is recorded, because near in the future, maybe people need to go back. When they get to 5.5, 6%, you'll be watching your TV show. It doesn't matter what you're watching or listen to some radio broadcast. And at the time of the call of prayer, the program will be interrupted, because you're going to be hearing the call of prayer in the middle of your show. And when the call of prayer is ended, which took about 2.5, 3 minutes, then you can go back to continue to watch or to listen to your radio, to your broadcast. This is what's happening in the Muslim world, and that is what's coming to America.
Tell us about this call to prayer.
The sad thing is, neither the Muslims or the American people really understand the call of prayer. What do Muslims say when they do the call of prayer? To average American or average Muslim, it is just calling people to go and pray. Why? Because people do not have watch anymore. People do not have an iPhone or a smartphone to let them know it's a time to pray. This could work in Muhammad days, because the church used to ring the bells for people to go to church. And the Muslims, they got a guy in a loud voice. There's no microphones, obviously. Then there's no electricity. And that guy will shout, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So people know it's time to pray. Today, we do not need that.
Okay, and let's define that. They shout out Allahu Akbar.
Sure. It is actually a long talk than Allahu Akbar. And as a matter of fact, the Sunni call of prayer is different than the Shiite call of prayer. Shiite adds the statement, Ashhadu anna Aliyun walay Allah, I bear witness that Ali is a friend of Allah. Sunni will never say that. That separates them. So maybe when we talk about it, in general, you think it's just one call of prayer, all the Muslims believe in it. No, that's not true. When Muslims shout Allahu Akbar, to the American, if you ask most people, they will say, it means God is great. I'm sorry, no, that's not true. Allah is not God. Or Muslims have to admit that God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're talking about Allah, Satan, the best deceiver, the one who lead people astray, the one who desire to fill hell with human, the one who choose to pick up the body of the Jews and the Christian to be the fuel of hell. That's not the God of the Bible. So the word Allah is not God. And then the word Akbar. Most people, 99.9 would say, means great. And who is going to say something wrong with God is great? No, Allahu Akbar, Satan is bigger. Akbar is size, not position. We believe in the Bible that God is great. We have it all over the Bible. How great thou art. We sing it in our churches. But when you say Akbar, bigger, bigger than what? Is Allah bigger than the earth? Is Allah bigger than the universe? If Allah is bigger than the universe, how can he fit in the universe? Is he exist outside the universe? So that is a weird statement. But for me as a Christian from the Middle East, or any of the Muslims who left Islam, and we have hundreds of them, when you hear the word Allahu Akbar, our body tremble, our mind tremble, because that reminds us of how Muhammad established these two statements, these two words. He was shouted the words Allahu Akbar when the Muslims were attacking the villages, when they were killing the men, taking the women and the daughters to be raped, to invade the neighboring villages, it was always start with a shout, Allahu Akbar. If you think about the 19 hijacker of September 11, what did they shout? Allahu Akbar. If you think of Dr. Nizam Malik Hassan, when he shot and killed 13 people, one was a mama with a baby, and wounded 35 in Fort Hood, Texas, he was shouting Allahu Akbar. Whenever you see an airplane falling down from the air in the Middle East in war or any attacks, it's always a company with the word Allahu Akbar. Maybe it means nothing to the American, but it means a lot to us Christians coming from the Middle East. We know it's a shout of victory. Let's go to the next statement. Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That is the second two sentences said after the Muslims say Allahu Akbar. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Somebody will say, well, that's what Muslims believe. No, it's not what Muslims believe. It is a false witness according to Sharia. Islamic law does not allow people to bear witness unless they have seen by their eyes, heard by their ears, smelled by their nose, touched by their hand, tasted by their tongue. Nobody can say there is no God except Allah. Unless you are a God yourself, which means you exist all over the universe, everywhere at the same time. Because what if there is another God right now over China? What is another God right now somewhere else, another planet? You cannot, we say, we believe, we don't bear witness. And to bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah is a false statement. Ours also according to Sharia, because nobody heard, smelled, tasted, or touched Muhammad. Nobody have seen Muhammad. Now, once again, you read the statement, you hear the statement, no big deal. It is a big deal. Why? Because in the teaching of Muhammad, he was commanded by Allah. Listen carefully, America. Listen carefully, my dear friends. Muhammad was commanded by Allah to engage in war with the American people until they say there is no God except Allah, until they bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is in Sahih Muslim. This is in Sahih Bukhari. I have been commanded to engage in war with people. Unless you in America here don't think you are people, then don't worry about it. Muhammad was talking about people. So that statement which you hear from the mosque, and you have no problem with it, most liberals in this country, it is actually the death certificate for the American children and grandchildren in the near future. Because when Muslims go from 3% to 5.5%, 6% to 10%, that is when you're going to see Muslims killing Americans for not saying the Shahada, which we allow them to call outside the mosque in a loudspeaker 5 times a day. We are digging our own graves, Brother Jim. We're writing the death certificate for our own children by allowing the Muslim to make these statements and to bear these witnesses out of the buildings in our country, the free country of liberty and freedom of religion. Islam does not allow freedom of religion. They are using our laws to say, hey, freedom of religion, we have the right to build a mosque. We have the right to call the Islamic prayer. No, because what happened if that Muslim imam who said freedom of religion, his son or his daughter, accepted Christ and left Islam, they would be killing them, as it is described in the word of Allah in the Quran and as it's written throughout the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, as it is even recorded to us in the book of Sharia, the Reliance of the Traveler. So that freedom of religion is a comedy. We can talk about it, we'll laugh about it, until when the Muslims have the upper hand, large number, they will be killing their own children. And for sure, they will be killing your grandchildren for not accepting Islam and saying the Shahada.
The Minnesota chapter of the Council of American Islamic Relations had helped push for this change, which allows some morning and evening calls that had previously been prohibited. But here's a statement that's coming from their CARE Minnesota Executive Director, Jelani Hussein, said this: "This is a historic victory for religious freedom and pluralism for our entire nation. We thank the members of the Minneapolis City Council for setting this great example. We urge other cities to follow it."
It is going to be in every city in America. If there's a mosque in your city, trust me, the day is coming and the Muslim will have the call of prayer. Jelani Hussein ran away from me for 4 or 5 years after he claimed that I was running away from him. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website, if you go on YouTube and watch, there's two videos of 15 minutes where he refused to come to show up on that TV station to debate me. This is now, which used to be a simple voice, a calm voice, is a louder voice. That's what happened when you allow CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, these are Muslim Brotherhood, to have a position, to have a place to speak, to have a pulpit to speak from. And boy, oh boy, these are the same Muslims who attacked us on September 11. And now they are celebrating a victory for Allah in Minneapolis and for the rest of the cities of America very soon.
And they're saying that, well, the church bells often, you know, they call Christians. Church bells are regularly tolled by Christians, so therefore we need to have this so Muslims can have their call.
And let me tell you what's going to happen in the near future. In Islam, the voice of the bell of the church, it is an evil voice. It will take away the angels from the city. As Muslims continue to grow in America and the water gets hotter to kill the frog, the day will come and the Muslims will take down the church bells. No kidding, because it will only be the call of prayer from the mosques.
Let me also ask you about this, Usama, because they had a public hearing on this, and a statement that I'm reading right now from Associated Press, or PBS, coming down through PBS rebroadcast here, what AP said. They mentioned that at a recent public hearing, Christian and Jewish leaders expressed support for extending the hours for this.
What Christians? I attend many of these interfaith meetings. And you see an idiot Christian minister next to a wacko Jew priest or whatever you call them, and next to a Muslim imam. Now, I always say that, and Brother Jim, listen carefully to what I'm saying here. If you talk to the Christian minister and say, sir, have you ever read the Quran? You say, well, I've never. I mean, I read some piece of it. Ask the Jewish leader, have you ever read the Quran? Well, I know a little bit about it. Now, ask the Muslim imam, have you ever studied the Bible? He will tell you about the hours of degrees he have, Old Testament and New Testament. These people who present Christianity in such meetings have no clue what Muslims believe. They have no idea what Muslim agenda for America. They are literally, I call them stupid, useful idiots. Mm. They do not have a clue what they're doing, and they're speaking on our behalf. I'm sorry, there is no Christian minister was there in that meetings, in these voting places where they do it, this whatever, to make a decision for the future of America. Mm-hmm. You want to have a Christian person to attend, to speak on my behalf, get somebody who at least read the Quran once in his life so he can speak right with knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We get some Christian in name only. And by the way, I guarantee you, that Christian guy you're talking about here, most likely he or she is a gay or a lesbian from some liberal, wicked church. That is the one. These are the ones who support Muslim agenda in America. But true Christians, as we can name many of them, they will not be invited to speak they will never be asked, what do you think of these decisions? Because they know they're not going to give them the vote or the sound words which they would love to hear from them.
I'd like to get your perspective as well. We often find that people will take a Bible and they will shred it up. They'll tear the pages of the Bible and nothing is said about it. Yet, when one rips the pages from a Quran, they're saying it's Islamophobia. This is a hate crime.
I can take you to the Azhar University of Egypt. That is the same Azhar University where all these imams come from who live and serve in America. They are teaching there in a book, and I wish we have the time to show the video, word for word in Arabic, that it is lawful for a Muslim to use the pages of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, as a toilet paper to clean themselves after they use the bathroom. Imagine with me, the most holy scholar schools, the Azhar University, where all the imams of the world are graduated, they all believe it's okay to do that to the page of the Bible. And when somebody cut a page out of the Quran, which is, by the way, in some English language, not even a Holy Quran to the Muslims, they get so upset and get angry because that's a good excuse to do show violence. What happened when Osman ibn Affan, the third Khalifa, burned the 7 original copies of the Quran? Not one Muslims complained. And that's why we have the Osmani Quran. I mean, this is a reality. It's just an excuse, Brother Jim, that I would get mad so I can burn some of your churches, so I can show the anger in action. When in reality, in Islam, we have the best of the Muslim leader, Osman ibn Affan, burned original Quran, 7 of them, and nobody complained.
Usama Daktak, our guest today, his website is thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. In a short time, we'll be opening some phone lines. We'll be ready to formulate your questions for Usama, but we'll be back with more information right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Relationships have been shattered due to lack of forgiveness. It's impacted marriages, parents and children, siblings, and even church families as a whole. Some have said that forgiveness is the most difficult commandment we are given as Christians. Why is that? Perhaps it is because it strikes at the core of our pride that says we deserve better than we are getting. Perhaps it seems if we forgive, we are letting that person win in a situation that hurts us in some way. In the book, Forgiven People Forgive, Pastor Jeff Miller shows us where the rubber meets the road. At the heart of why we should forgive is the fact that God has forgiven us and we are commanded to forgive. It's easy for bitterness to take root in a heart that is unforgiving. Forgiven People Forgive is available for a donation of $6 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for Forgiven People Forgive. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Dakdak is with us here today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. He's in studio today because he is speaking, just an hour and a half or so away from us here. He is speaking tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the Country View Bible Fellowship. That's in Berlin, Wisconsin, located on County A, and speaking each evening at 6 p.m. Through the end of, through Wednesday of this week. So those of you within driving distance to Berlin, Wisconsin, you certainly would have opportunity to hear him tonight and Tuesday, Wednesday evening at Country View Bible Fellowship. Usama, we saw also just recently, as all this is unfolding, that the Biden administration once again released another suspected Islamist militant from the Gitmo, the prison take place, and we see this is an individual who had been held up for many, many years, and now the Biden administration saying, hey, there's no threat here. Let him go.
Biden is following Obama. This is exactly what's happened. Obama freed that prison, Gitmo, and believe it or not, because of the people he freed, we ended with ISIS. He actually freed the leaders of ISIS. And Biden, Obama, they're the same team. They're doing the same thing. They care less about the safety of the American people and the safety of the world. As you see from the rest of their actions, they are doing everything they can to bring as many Muslim jihadi, or I call them Muslim believers, to this country, legally or illegally, through the border, or just come in with, we give you a visa and come to America. That's exactly what they're doing.
I'd like to share another story today that just came out April 22nd from Just the News. American Express Global Business Travel and Welcome U.S. have reportedly teamed up with former Presidents Obama, Clinton, and George W. Bush, their non-governmental organizations called Miles for Migrants, to fly migrants to communities across the United States. This is an NGO that was initially launched to work with President Joe Biden's administration to facilitate some of the 85,000 Afghans who came into the U.S. in 2021 and 22 after the debacle created the U.S. evacuation from Afghanistan, according to Breitbart. Welcome U.S. is also linked to billionaire George Soros's Open Society Foundation through some of its board members in their National Welcome Council. Usama, what we have here, we've got Obama, Bush, George W. Bush, and Clinton that have started this non-governmental organization to flying Islamic migrants from Afghanistan wherever they want to go throughout the United States.
Sure, why not? As a matter of fact, Mr. George W. Bush is the one who started that. Do you know that George W. Bush is the only president who went in war with two Muslim countries, and the Muslims of America voted for him the second term after 3 years of war? And I couldn't understand why the Muslim in America will vote for George W. Bush when he is in war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, killing the Muslims. And I found out as I investigated that it is during these years of war, Mr. George W. Bush was bringing Muslims to America from all over the Muslim world in the hundreds of thousands. I'm not joking. Thousands and thousands. They were coming to this country legally. Not only they were coming to this country legally, he was giving them high position. The number of mosques grew, building of mosques in America grew quadruple under George W. Bush. The number of Muslims in America grew. That's why they loved him. And now they are literally working as a team to bring the rest of the Muslims of the world. I just said a minute ago that they care less about America. They are bringing them here as we have seen. By the way, 85,000 Muslims who came from Afghanistan, many of them came with little children, the 9 and 10 years old. And then we discovered these are not their children or their grandchildren. These are their wives. And guess what the government did? Mr. O'Biden looked the other way because he could not face the reality of this big box of warm he brought to this country. Many of the men who came from Afghanistan in their 40s and their 50s, they came to this country with their little children, wives, and they're still right now living with them, involving with them sexually as a husband and wife in our apartment, which is provided by the welfare system. We're feeding them, and we're going to bring the rest of their family soon with the help of Obama and Bush and O'Biden. God help us. This country is going down so fast, Brother Jim.
And we see, we can look to the UK, over to Europe as to what's happening there. Usama, it was just reported here recently, earlier this month, that Mohammed is the fourth most given male name in Europe now.
That's a reality. The number of Muslims born by the name Mohammed or Ahmed or Ali or Mustafa or whatever is beyond imagination. While the American people are in war with each other about giving them the right to kill their babies, Muslims are rejoicing and celebrating the birth of as many children as they can have. The average Muslim man in America have 7-8 children. Most American people do not have any children. What is happening in Europe will repeat itself in America. See, Brother Jim, history is a repeat circle. If you don't learn from yesterday, yesterday will be tomorrow in America, which means right now in Europe, there are many places where there is no babies to take over the homes of the Europeans. Who's going to take these homes over? The Muslims. I tell the Muslims of Europe, do not buy any more churches to make it mosque. Just wait another 20 years. The church will be empty. Nobody will be living near it. Just take it for free and make it a mosque. This is going to come to America as we see it happening even slowly right now.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines, give you opportunity to call and ask Usama a question here today on the program. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Usama was born in Egypt. He knows Islam. He was instructed in Sharia as he went through the school system. He knows Islam inside and out. He speaks fluent Arabic. He has translated the Quran into English to reveal what it really is saying. And certainly it is the book that gives great influence to Muslims to kill the infidel. That is the Jews. That is the Christians. It is there. And Usama, I also want to point out here that coming up again, and it's happening more and more frequently. It's happening in state capitals. Now it's coming up at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., the National Muslim Advocacy Day, taking place in person Monday, June 12th, Tuesday, June 13th in Washington, D.C. And this is Muslim delegates and activists are going to be meeting with congressional offices to discuss the most pressing issues impacting American Muslims in today's political climate.
And that is, in simple words, Brother Jim, asking politely, give us our rights, which they have no right for any of it. Soon it will not be just 2 days. It will be all week, all months long. And then that is when the Muslims will do exactly what they wish with our permission or not. That is exactly what's coming to this country.
You wrote an article recently, we will use their laws to take over their country. And that's what's going on.
Sure, absolutely. And if I go right now to talk to our legislator as a Muslim man, I will convince him that they have no right to stop me for practicing Islam in America under this idea of freedom of religion. But if the same congressman woman I'm talking to and these lawmakers understand the nature of Islam and there is no freedom of religion in Islam, they will not only not allow me to practice Islam in America, they will remove me from America. Once again, Hosea 4:6 is a very powerful verse. It's in our website. It's everywhere I go. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you do not know anything about Islam, I will convince you that I have the right to build a mosque and pray in it. But if you know what I believe as a Muslim, what I say in my prayer, you will lock me up or throw me out of your country. Same person, depending how much he knows or he does not know about Islam.
Let's go to the phone lines. Our number here, 800-733-9829. David in Hillsboro, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Usama. We've been hearing a fundraiser commercial on Fox Channel for an Islamic center in New York City and asking everybody to give to build this big Islamic center. Have you seen that? And
the donation is a drama, brother. They already have the money not to build that one Islamic center. They have a money to build 50 Islamic Center in America. Cash. The donation is playing a game to make American people feel like, oh, these poor Muslims, they're going to collect $50, $100, $20 from people to build an Islamic center. The Saudi are buying America. They own America. Just keep bumping oil from Saudi Arabia, and they will continue to take over America. That they will come, and the Saudi, who are literally sponsoring millions of Muslims to come to this country in the near future, they will be digging our own oil, and they'll be selling it to us. We give them enough money to make them rich that they can build any mosques, any Islamic center, any city in America. And it is coming to a city near you soon.
Yeah. That's, and I just wondered about this call to prayer in Minneapolis. Does that mean they own the city?
It is a simple word, brother. We are here. We're taking over. Thank you for giving us your Minneapolis. Yeah. That's what it is.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, it's like a call of conquer.
Yeah. It is the same shout, Brother Jim, which Muhammad used to say when they were taking over one village at a time.
Wow.
Same shout.
Let's go to anonymous caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to say that the Quran is not eternal and that it wasn't sent down to Muhammad, and it was compiled at the time of Uthman, and the Muslims say the Quran has never changed. It's full of changes and cross-outs and write-overs and insertions, and out of the six partial Qurans in the whole world, they cannot make up one whole Quran of what they say is the original, and what they use now in the world is only about 40 years old, 38 to 40 years old, and it started to be compiled in 1924, King Fahd and King Farouk, they put it together in Egypt. They saw how successful it was, and they decided to put it out to the whole world, and that's what they have today.
We'll have Usama comment on that. Thank you.
Sure. You're absolutely right, brother. What you said is true. Actually, we do have right now 34 Quran in the Arabic language, and we already discovered 29,000 different words in these 34 Qurans. So the idea that there's one perfect holy Quran given by Allah to Muhammad through Jibreel, it's a comedy. The earliest copies we have of the Quran is 150, 160 years after Muhammad's death. So there's so much we need to learn about Islam, but what you said is true.
Thank you. Our number is 800-733-9829. Charles is next. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Fine, thank you.
All right. Just one quick question. Do you guys know who's behind this invasion of Muslims and third world illegals into Europe and North America?
Well, I believe from studying the history that the European people did a great job of killing their own babies through the abortion. And then they discovered a few years later that they needed people to work. So what they do is they hire the Muslim to work. And they still do not have any more babies. And now the Muslims are taking over Europe. As I believe the same problem we're going to have here in America in the near future. And sadly, it is the work of the devil, Allah, Satan himself.
Yeah, and it's no secret. I mean, Biden has been for open borders across our land.
Sure. And if we know how many Muslim jihadi, not just Muslims, the normal Muslims, they can come from the Muslim world any time in tons of different visas. They can come as a student, they can come as a visitor, they can come as businessmen, they can come. But the one who could not come to this country legally, because they will never come to this country legally, they just walk through the border and they are already here in America. And we have no clue how many of them, Brother Jim. They could be in the thousands.
Thank you, Charles, for the call. Let's go to Racine, Wisconsin. Joe, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you guys very much for what you're doing. I'm wondering how long does the United States have before we're out of here?
I'm sorry to say that it's a question of wondering. We will never know exactly when, but as Muslims claim, in 20 years they will take over America. And I believe if we continue to do in the next 5 years what we have done in the last 2 years, this country will be changed dramatically. You're talking about millions will become this country in the next 5 years if we just let it continue to be like it was in the last 2 years.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute with more of your phone calls. Usama Dakdak is with us today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, his website, thestraightway.org. Back in a moment here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There's an organization I recently found out about entitled Better Than Cash. BetterThanCash.org is their website. And when you go there, you'll find out it's many governments of the world, along with big corporations. And according to the website, that includes, well, Target, along with Coca-Cola and others. And what's their goal? Well, according to their website and a speech given by the lady that runs the organization, it is to go to a cashless society, digitized cash. And what does she say is the purpose? Well, in the speech that I played on the radio the other day, she states it's so they can accomplish the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 United Nations goals. That's radical environmentalism, end of private property, depopulation, and so much more. And guess where this organization is based? Yep, the United Nations. I'm Brandon House.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, Usama Dakdok with us in studio today, and lines are packed, so we're going right back to the phone calls. Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Usama.
Hello, brother.
I wanted to ask you a question I've asked, you know, Muslims, and is the mark of the beast mentioned in the Quran? Because I haven't read the Quran. I don't know.
No.
And I feel like if it's not in there, then that's got to tell the people who kind of read the Bible, read the Quran, that they need to be reading the Bible more.
Sure. There is no any mention about the mark of the beast. There is no any mention of any prophecy, period, about the future or the end times. So sometimes, sadly, some of the Christians hear false information from the Muslims, as they will use it, and they say, here is what's going to happen at the end of time, as Muslims believe. And then the Muslims will use this information to rewrite their books about end-time prophecy. There is no end-time prophecy. Muhammad is the only prophet I heard of, because there are plenty of false prophets who prophesied, but Muhammad is the only one who claimed to be a prophet without a prophecy. Hmm. So there's nothing written about the future or end-time at all.
Well, thanks, Leroy.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's go to Laval, Wisconsin. Joe, you're on the air.
Hello. My question for Mr. Usama is, many of these immigrants are coming from rural areas, but they sell in the cities. So my question to Mr. Usama is, what role are you seeing the Muslim immigrants playing in urbanizing America?
Well, actually, what's happening is our government right now, with their corruption, are putting these Muslims in a big city, big crowded places, so no one can realize them, so no one can feel them, so nobody get aware of it and be cautious about, wait a minute, what are these ladies here doing wearing this burqa? What this guy's doing here is the Muslims. So if you put them in a big city, you will never even know. Most people do not know their neighbors in the big city. But soon or later, they're going to move to the small communities. And that's when they were shown more boldly. You can live in any community in America and you have Muslims for 5 years. You never know that they're there. And then suddenly there's a mosque is built. And suddenly there's 400 people are there in the mosque. And then nobody can say they have no right to build a mosque. After all, you have a large number. But they're doing it in a very deceptive way. They're not putting them in small communities, but in big cities, so no one can realize or figure out what's going on in this country.
Thank you for the call. Don is next in Rogers, Minnesota. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, I've got a comment and a question. A couple of years ago, I was at one of the major hospitals in Minneapolis, and I had a Muslim nurse's aide. And I had asked her how many children she had. And she told me that she had one and that she can have a child one every 2 years. And then I went in and asked her, I'm just curious, how many wives does your husband have? And she said a total of four. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then my question is, Usama, what are the hours of the prayer times of when they will be announced throughout Minneapolis?
Thank you.
All right. First of all, you're right about every 2 years, women like to have baby. But because Allah in the Quran said, فَطَامُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ, which means he to stop breastfeeding him, it would take 2 years. Four wives at the time, my friend. that Muslim man can have unlimited number of wives throughout his life. That is marrying to a Muslim free woman, because he can also have relationship with an infidel American woman, unlimited number. And that is Islamic as well. There are plenty of different Islam. Now, the hours of prayer is a miracle. It's a mystery. Islam is evolving like everything else evolved in the ungodly beliefs, like evolution, for example. So what you see is, they tell you the early morning is prayer at 432.20 seconds. Excuse me. Did Muhammad have a clock with seconds 1,400 years ago? Of course not. So how he come up with at 4 o'clock and 22 minutes and 25 seconds? They're making it like so complicated to make it, they pray in perfect time. So five times a day, that is their daily prayer. The first one before the morning start, the last one literally around 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And that's where they come up with the call of prayer to accommodate these prayers before the prayer take place.
Thank you for the call. Jim in Springfield, Missouri, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Thank you for exposing all this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank your guests also. My question is, what would it take to reverse what has taken place in Minnesota?
Minneapolis, so it was a vote by the city council.
It's very simple. You build awareness among the American people who live in Minneapolis, teach them the truth about Islam, and love the Muslim people right. When you allow the Muslim people to do these things, you are proving their life. You are proving their religion. You are not loving them. You are making them continue to drink the poison of Islam, and someday they're going to use that to hurt us. So Muslims need to be educated, but more important, the American people who live in Minneapolis need to be educated. So once again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Thank you. Randy in Fayetteville, Arkansas, you're on the air.
Yeah, great program. I just have a comment. I would agree that lack of knowledge of the Quran is not a good thing. But I think even above that is the lack of knowledge and the courage of so-called Christians to know their Bible and to, support it and to express it and stand up for it. I mean, like last week you had Ken Ham on, and you mentioned, I won't the name, Andy Stanley, let's be honest. I've heard this before about Andy.
Tell you what, let's stay with their topic. Stay with this. But you have a question on Islam here today, Randy.
Well, yeah, I guess I guess not really a question. It's just a comment.
Okay.
I think Christians.
You know what, brother? You're absolutely right. If the Christian of America knows the Great Commission and loves Jesus right and loves the Muslim people right, knows the scripture right, then they will be ministering to the Muslims. But what make it even more powerful, my dear brother, is if the Christian American learn about Islam and the future for this country, for their children, grandchildren, mm-hmm. that will be like double-edged sword. Number one, you're going to protect your children, you're going to protect your country, and you're going to love the Muslim people and lead them to Christ. Double-edged sword. That would be more powerful than just knowing the scripture. If you know the scripture, but you don't know how dangerous it is to have Muslims in this country, then maybe you're not going to be that passionate about ministering to the Muslim people.
Great. Thank you, Randy. And so, yeah, your comment doing more with illiteracy and this
sure.
This lack of knowledge here. Thank you so very much. And with that, friends, we're out of time. Our theme music is closing here, and we're sorry to other callers online here. Usama Daktok with us again. He is speaking the next three nights in Berlin, Wisconsin. And check it out at Country View Bible Fellowship. Usama's website is thestraightway.org. That's thestraightway.org. A number of books and recordings, teachings that are there as well. Usama, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always good to be with you.
And
appreciate
friends, thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.